So kids, pre-K through fifth grade, you may leave. And if you are in sixth through eighth grade, we have a middle school class that's starting as well right now this Sunday. And Kathy Boer is leading that class, and she's already back there. So, okay? So if you're in sixth through eighth grade, you can join the classes as well. Okay, so I want to ask you, have you ever had this sense of reality that something that you believed in, but you were not very consistent in living it out? Okay, so let me talk about diet. Okay. Have you ever felt like some of the stuff you eat is not healthy for you? I didn't think you were supposed to raise your hand. I'm just raising my hand. I'm just acknowledging. I know things, and I'm not living them out. Have you ever known you shouldn't put too much on your credit card? You shouldn't overuse your credit card, but you still do. Anybody? How many times have you cut your credit cards to say, that's done, I'm finished? I don't know how many times you've known that the people around you that you are the closest to, those in your family, are the ones who most need your love. And yet sometimes when you come home and you are with them, you are your worst with them. You know better. You know how you want a family to be, but you recognize there's a deficiency in how I'm living it out. Has anybody been there? Because I just want to say, as we are going through this book of Colossians, Satan loves for you and I to live in that arena. Two reasons. Number one is it causes us to feel this guilt of shame that we can't live up to what God's. It kind of creates this rule-keeping standard over us, and we constantly feel shame. And we constantly can judge other people because they're not living up to their standards as well. And so as long as he can kind of keep you in shame, he kind of keeps you under this cloud of fear of how God feels about you, and you're not able to live in grace. Because the reality is, God knows there's this gap between what you believe and what you live. And that's what he's filled with the blood of Jesus. He's covered that with his grace. And so the way you're going to get to heaven is not because you lived up to the standard. It's because the standard of Jesus was applied to you, and all of a sudden Jesus' blood allows you to have a righteousness you didn't have on your own. So God wants you to recognize, oh, there's this gap, and I need the grace of God to help fill that gap, but I need the grace of God to help shorten that gap. There's less distance between what I believe and how I live. Now here's the second reason why Satan loves for you to live in that arena, is because that's the arena he lives in. He knows better than you do the reality of the Creator God. He knows better than you do that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that Jesus is the only hope of salvation. Satan knows all of those things. But there's a gap between what he knows and what he lives. Do you understand that? James says, if you believe and know these things, but you don't show it in your work, he says, wow, that's what Satan does. The demons do that. And when they come into God's presence, they shudder. We're almost too foolish to shudder with the things that the gap that we have. So today, what I want us to look at is I want you to hear what I believe are core principles that Kingsway Christian Church is going to land on and say, this is what we believe. We sang about it in the first song, that this is the stuff we believe, and we believe that our life is trying, as a church, we're trying to live up based on these beliefs, that somebody outside would be able to see by our actions and by our life, they'd be able to say, they must really believe Jesus is the Messiah. They must really believe Jesus is God's Son. So we're going to look at that. I want you to look at this quote here, first of all. The beliefs that don't translate into our daily behavior are more than myths. They're just legends, things that we think about, but they really don't have any impact in our life. What we believe about Jesus not only shapes the gathering times when we're together, that we talk about Jesus and confirm those beliefs, but they also affect our daily priorities, our activities, and our relationships. Do you believe that? Now, how many of you would say, honestly, in my own life, there's a gap between what I believe and what I'm living out? Right? Am I the only one? Okay, so all of us acknowledge there's this gap. And the reason Kingsway exists, and we're going to land on these firm things that we know are true, we're going to land here because we know each one of us need each other to help us to live out the truths of what we believe, to be able to live it out in our daily life. If you're a new Christian and you're looking at everybody else here in the church and saying, man alive, everybody else has it together. Why am I the only one that's mixed up in this church? And I just want you to know, everyone else here is probably feeling the same way. That I've got gaps in what I believe and how I live. And the danger in church is that we would fake it, hoping that we can make it. And today in church, we're just going to say, as we've been going through this book of Colossians, we're going to say, you can't do it alone. And ultimately, you have to move out of isolation to thinking, I'm the only one who's having a hard time living out this Christian life. I'm the only one who's facing these temptations and the challenges or having doubts about why stuff happens. Why does God let certain things happen? And what our series is trying to do is encourage us to say no. When we stand and believe together, when we share our beliefs and share our gaps that we have, when we do that together, we find an incredible grace that actually helps us shorten the gap rather than shaming us and increasing the gap. So would you pray with me? And we're going to open God's word and ask him to speak to us about the truths that we believe and how that should impact our life, okay? Father God, I thank you for this day. And we just want to acknowledge that too often we are so lax and haphazard as we approach this time of worship and gathering together. It's become a routine. We just do it because this is what we do on Sunday mornings. And yet, Father, we anticipate that every time we come into your word, that you breathed to authors years ago so that truth could be translated into our world. We believe every time we open your word, Father, your Holy Spirit has ammunition and power and strength to be able to transform our lives and reveal things in our lives and challenge us and encourage us and remind us of your grace and your goodness. So God, today, do it again, would you? As people have read these words that we're going to read today, and have been captivated by them, and lives have been transformed and caused to awe at Jesus in such a way that their lives were transformed. Father, would you do that again today? For any here who has doubts, Father, would this view and affirmation of what we believe, would it strengthen their faith and help them to hold on to faith even in the face of times and seasons of doubts? For those who are facing hardship today, we just pray, God, would you help us in the hardship to hold on to these beliefs and find strength to endure. And Father, for those of us who have heard these truths over and over again and almost become desensitized, God, would you spark new life in us today? Make your word be empowered by your spirit so that we leave this place transformed because we've once again caught a new vision of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 has a verse that I want to have you read together with me. You sang it. If a tune kind of comes to your mind, you'll hear the tune with it, but I want you to say these words with me, as the Hebrew writer is talking to people who are facing discouragement and challenges, and he says, but we, say this together with me, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. The scripture says that it's very common for God's people to get to points where they meet a crisis of their faith, where they believe something up to a point, and at that point they start to say, I don't think it makes sense. I don't know that I believe that anymore. And scripture shows over and over again when that cycle happened that those people who dropped their faith in the midst of that hardship, in the Old Testament times, they were the ones who died in the desert. They were the ones who thought God's promise of the promised land was great, but when they saw the giants or the people in the walled cities, they doubted whether God could actually take them in, and they shrunk back and faced destruction. But Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, that's not us. That's not us. That's not the way it's going to be in Kingsway. That's not the way it's going to be in our life. We're going to be of those who believe, hold on in the hard times, and stand together and encourage each other in the hard times, because we're going to be those who hold on, believe, and are saved. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I want to read verses 13 through 17 first. If you'll remember what we've been reading, Paul's writing to a Colossian church. God has planted a church. They're probably only 8 to 10 years old. A new church planted in the town of Colossae. Colossae, if you remember, is a town that's in decline. They used to be a popular town. They used to be on the main thoroughfare of all the traffic, trade route. So all kinds of travelers came through. Business was booming. But about 100 years ago, the trade route moved north to Laodicea and Hierapolis, and Colossae became kind of a secondary retail place. And all that they had built up was starting to be destroyed, and all of a sudden taxes had to be raised to keep up what they had, but they didn't have enough business nor people to be able to sustain it. And it got harder and harder in Colossae. And in that town, God planted a church of believers, because he wanted there to be a lighthouse in that town. Paul talks about his prayer for the people. We read that last week. And at the end of his prayer, it's almost as he's closing up his prayer and he's talking about how important the gospel is. He goes into a section that's one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible about who Jesus is, not just as a human Jesus, but who he is eternally, who Jesus was at the beginning of creation, and who he is now, and how he's exalted. And so what we're going to read here, we could spend a month reading this section and gathering nuggets of diamonds to be able to look at to see about the life of Jesus. But I'm going to pick out three or four things that I want you to pay attention to. Listen, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. For he, that's speaking of God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, again, I feel like I would like to take a month of sermons just talking about that, but I want you to notice two things that Kingsway believes from that passage of Scripture about Jesus. Number one, we believe Jesus is King. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us. We talk about King, and you think of England or Britain, and you think of the King or the Queen of England. But most of us don't have a very clear understanding. Even in England, it's not really a king. That's just a kind of a picture of their old culture. But really, they are a republic. They're a representative government with parliament. But a king, people in this day in Colossae understood what a king was. A king was a person who either was a good benefactor and you desired to be in his kingdom because he brought righteousness and truth and provided blessings and favors for the people that were in his kingdom, or he was a king that was a despot. He was only caring about himself and using the people to provide for his opulence. Currently in Rome, there's a king, but he's now being called Caesar, and the king in Rome is a king named Nero. Paul's writing this letter and talking about Jesus as he's in prison about ready to face Nero, being judged for something that was a false accusation against him. Paul knew that the people here would understand this concept that Jesus is king. Look at verse 13. Paul says that when God rescued us from a dominion, a kingdom of darkness, God, by Jesus, translated us into a kingdom of light. And this kingdom of light is the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Jesus is actually the king of that kingdom. And when you have a kingdom that's a good kingdom and a king that's a good king, you desire for his rule and reign in your life. And people around you may desire, say, man, I wish I was a part of that kingdom because that king's really good to his people. But what a king requires is he requires allegiance. Total allegiance to his rule and his reign and authority over your life. At Kingsway, we've been given this name. When we were planted 34 years ago, we were planted with this concept that there is a king over our life. He's a good king, and we believe Jesus is that king. And we believe our response to that is to live under his authority and to seek his rule and reign in our life. We believe Jesus is king. Now, the fall short of that is we oftentimes choose imposters. There are imposters that come in and offer, say, if you will pledge allegiance to me, if you will give your authority and let me speak into your life, I can give you things that king you're not currently getting right now. And many of us have, in certain segments of our life, chosen another king. There's an area where maybe you are king, and you're saying, nobody else is going to tell me what to do in this area. Nobody can confront this area. This is an area that I get to be in charge of. This is my kingdom. And in that area, Jesus, the good, loving, beneficial king, is longing to reign and rule in your life. And all he asks is that you would surrender that kingdom and its pledge allegiance to him, to say, Jesus, I choose you alone to be king over all the kingdoms in my life. My work is not my king. It doesn't determine my identity. It doesn't determine my sufficiency. It doesn't determine my future. Jesus, you are my king, and I believe my life, my sufficiency, my provision, my future is all in your hands. I believe you're a good king, and I surrender my life to full allegiance to you. Now, when you made that decision to be baptized into Jesus Christ and to turn your life, repent from sin, you basically made that statement. You said, Jesus, I want you to be king, and I will be a citizen in your kingdom. Now, Paul also says that Jesus is not only king, but he mentions that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So here, Paul is basically saying, Jesus is not just a human king that lives for such a certain amount of time, but Jesus is a king forever. And he is able to be that because he is God. So at Kingsway, we believe Jesus is fully man and he is fully divine, fully God. Now, I can't fully explain that, why that is and how that is. But the Bible teaches that when he came to earth, he was fully human in his time on earth. But while he was on earth, he was also fully God. He just chose not to use all of his Godhead to be able to give him an advantage that you and I wouldn't be able to have. He chose to live out a life fully human, knowing exactly what you and I would have to deal with, and yet choosing to live and love God, live for him, with the same resources you and I have. But we believe Jesus is God. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good moral example. He's not just a good prophet that maybe God had used. We believe he is God, and that makes him unique from any other religious system in the world. We believe Jesus Christ is God. Now, the word image in verse 15, I want you to circle that word. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Two things I want you to understand. Jesus is the expression of God that we can't see. In the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, God gave a command that people should never make a graven image, a shaped image that would represent what God was like. Do you remember that? Don't make any idols. Don't make any graven image that represents what God is like. Part of the reason God wanted to do that is there was only one person that could be that image, that perfect reflection. And Jesus Christ, when he came, was going to be that image, the perfect reflection of what God looks like and what God is about. In the scriptures, one of the disciples came to Jesus in the upper room the night before Jesus was going to be betrayed, and the disciples said, Jesus, would you just show us the Father? Help us to see the Father. And Jesus said to Philip, have you been with me so long? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen God? Now, I know you and I have a lot of questions about God. What is God like? Do some things happen that doesn't seem like it'd be appropriate? If God's good and God's powerful and God's loving, why do bad things happen in the world? But I believe the questions that you and I have about God would best be answered if we would look at Jesus. The more we study Jesus, the more we'll know about God, because Jesus is the perfect reflection of God. I want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture that highlight that. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times in various ways, but in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Here it is. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. Did you see that? Jesus is the exact representation of God. If you want to know who God is, I want to introduce you to Jesus. That's why Kingsway Christian Church is going to focus on the message and the news and the study of the life of Jesus, because the more we get to see Jesus, the more of the longing in your heart to know who God is, the more that longing is going to be answered. There's another verse of Scripture I want you to notice there. John chapter 1, verse 3. Let's just look at verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 1. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. John knew what he was stating when he started off his gospel this way. John knew that he was stating to everybody who would read the gospel, Jesus is God. If you want to know what God is like, look at the life of Jesus. At Kingsway, we believe when you look at the life of Jesus, our life response should be to awe and worship, to long to know him more and more and to praise him. Because as we look at Jesus, we're going to see the reflection, a beauty, glory of the Father. So I want to ask you today, when you came into worship and we sang songs today that were specifically chosen to focus our attention on Jesus being everything that we need, to being God and being King of our life, that our response then is to worship, to lift him up and awe at him because he is God. I want to read the next section of Colossians. Starting with verse 18. We've seen Jesus is King, Jesus is God. Verse 18 says, he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Verse 19, for God was pleased, here it is again, to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Here's another thing that Kingsway believes. Kingsway believes Jesus is the only way for salvation. Now that doesn't resonate very well in Colossae or in a Colossae culture. In fact, it puts some pretty heavy responsibility on us who say we believe that. But the scriptures teach over and over again, God has planned a way so that everyone in the world could be able to have salvation and be reconciled. The verse here says, through Jesus and his blood and death on the cross, the sins of the whole world have been atoned for. All you have to do is trust him. Place your trust in him. And that atonement gets covered to you. We believe the church can do a lot of things really well. I mean, if we're kind to the people who are oppressed, if we're helping those people who are homeless, if we're coming alongside people who are facing difficult times in their life, if we're living out the life of Jesus by his kindness and his grace to people in need, we believe those are important things for us to do. But if at the same time we're not announcing that there's a way of escape, there's a way of salvation through Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the pinpoint, he's the bridge for you to be able to move from darkness, the dominion of darkness, and move into the kingdom of God. Jesus is the way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I just want you to know, Kingsway believes Jesus is the way for salvation. We believe Jesus is the message, the gospel message of Jesus' life, his death, burial, resurrection, and atonement for our sin. We believe that message is what people have to place their trust in, and they receive this incredible new life, transformed life, and grace that covers the gap. Now I want to ask you, do you believe Jesus is King? And are you giving him the allegiance that he deserves in every area of your life? Do you believe Jesus is God? And are you worshiping him appropriately so that your life is reflecting his glory? Not just here in church, but throughout the rest of your life. Does your adoration for Jesus show up in your workplace? Does it show up in your home? Does it show up in your neighborhood? And I have to say, I've got gaps. I hope all my neighbors know that I'm in love with Jesus, that I'm leaving clues that he has transformed my life, but I know there's gaps. I believe he's king. I believe he's God. In fact, I believe he's the only hope for salvation for a dying world. And today, Paul is speaking to us just like he speaks to the Colossian church and says, I want you to hold on to that, and I want you to live out what you believe about Jesus. Read this last section of this element as Paul talks to the church. And he says, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you, brought you in by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out for you in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Would you just look at that first section of that element, verses 21 through 22? Do you still believe? Because Kingsway believes that Jesus, the message of Jesus, is still good news for our generation. We believe that the message of Jesus and his atonement for sins of the world, no matter how bad those sins were, his message, his atonement, covers all of our sins. We believe the gospel is still good news. The message of Jesus is still good news for people around you. In fact, it's the best news for some of the people around you. But here's the challenge. We live in a culture that wants to increase the gap between what you believe and how you live. Our culture in America used to say we are a Christian nation. We live by Christian principles. We were founded based on the principles that God has established of righteousness, truth, and justice, and the value of every person's life. We currently live in a state where every other religious belief system is tolerated and allowances made for, but Christian faith, listen, Christian faith is going to become persecuted. In fact, it's mocked without any repercussions. It's derogatory comments are made. False accusations are made about Christian leaders. And honestly, until people stand up to say, no, what you're saying about that person is not true. That's not how that person is. We will move farther and farther where they would say, you do what you want in your buildings. You do it in your little houses. But don't impress it. Don't try to bring it out into culture. And I want you to know, a Kingsway Christian Church will not be satisfied with that. We believe that what we believe is the hope of the nation around us, and hope of the neighborhood, hope of the people around you, hope of your peers in your school, high school and middle school. I guess the middle school kids are gone. And your high school classes. It is the hope of the person who's bound by sin, alcoholism, greed, materialism, whatever it is. We believe Jesus Christ is the hope for our nation. And I just want you to know, I believe what God does because of what he's revealed to us in Jesus Christ, what God does with our belief has to go outside these walls. We as people need to live out that we believe the good news is still good news to people that are lost. The reason we believe it is because it's been true in my story and in your story. Each one of us can remember when we were alienated from God. It might have been alcohol for you. It might have been sexual lifestyle. It might have been pride. It might have been arrogance. It might have been fame. Whatever it was for you, you remember what it was like when you were living in that other kingdom. You remember when somebody told you that that kingdom was moving you to deeper and deeper destruction? And you remember when somebody said Jesus had provided a way for you to move out of that kingdom and come into the kingdom of light. And I just want to say, if we can't remember when we were lost and what it was like to be redeemed by the grace of Jesus, we will begin to forget that good news could make that same pathway for someone else. And somebody who desperately needs to know that God can redeem their broken life, the door will be closed because we just won't share. We don't think God can really change them or that they'd even be interested. And I want to say today, Kingsway, God's heart planted us in this city and all the challenges that this city has. God is preparing a pathway for you to start working with people who desperately need to know that hope. And you get to be the light. You get to be the representative of Jesus in that culture. And I know it's miserable because the language is bad. Their joking is bad. I just want you to know God's placed you there so you could be his light. Because the good news that you know is the good news that could bring them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. And there, in the kingdom, his blood fills the gap. Amen? His blood fills the gap. But somebody's got to tell the message. Somebody's got to say it. I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward today. And here's where I want to put this into practice. I want you to consider some action steps. First question I want to ask you is, Jesus is King, Jesus is God, Jesus is the only way of salvation, and Jesus is still good news. I want to ask you, which one of those is the one that you feel like you've got the biggest gap in? I believe it, but it's not showing up in my life. And all I want to ask you to do is what Paul was saying is the Holy Spirit's working. I want you to identify, is it Jesus being King and I need to give him a full allegiance? Is it Jesus being God and I need to live for his glory? Is it Jesus being salvation and I need to tell his story? Or is it Jesus being still good news and I need to invest in somebody to help them find their way? I've been living too much in a private life, not letting my faith show. Which one of those is the biggest gap? And would you today just say, God, in that gap, I want your grace to help me shorten the gap. Here's the truth I want you to know. You can't live out your beliefs to the extent that you need to by yourself. We need the body of believers. You can't do it. We need each other to help us to live out our beliefs. So, two action steps I want to encourage you. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, but you're intrigued by what the church believes, I want to encourage you to jump into one of our small groups and ask your questions in that small group. It's hard to do that, and I'll meet with you afterwards to talk with you about questions you might have. But in a small group, you get to ask the questions of other people who had similar questions. And on this journey, they've been able to find Jesus is still good news. And if you're in isolation and are facing some of these doubts of what about Jesus? What about life after death? What about salvation? How do I know if I'm saved? I want you to get involved in a small group. And today, over here at the Info Center, I encourage you to find out about some of the small groups and plug into one. Secondly, if you are already a believer, I want to ask you to plug into a small group because you need help from other people as you're facing the challenges that the world is placing ahead of you. The world wants to increase the gap between what you say you believe and how you're living it out. They want you to continue to make that spread. And I just want to tell you, the challenges that you're facing right now, the doubts that you're hearing, the questions that other people, the mocking that you're getting from other people, you can't handle that alone. And Paul's saying to the Colossian church, do this together. Don't try to do it alone. Find somebody else who will walk this pathway with you. Today, just as Kingsway, we want to say, we want to do it together with you. And if you've been isolated, we're going to ask you, take a step. Help us. Let us help you find a place where you can get plugged in. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are thankful that the message that Paul was speaking into the life of the Colossian church is a message that really resonates with where we're at right now in America. And it resonates with who we are at Kingsway. It's stuff that we believe. But Father, would you help us to live it out by your power and by the Holy Spirit's strength? Now, we believe you've planted us here so that we could make a difference. We could help rescue people from the dominion of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of the Son you've created, Jesus. So Father, today, however you want us to respond, I pray that you would move us into that action. We pray this because we know what you've just said to us resonates with the deepest longing of our heart. We want you to be king. We want to be fully under your authority. We want you to be God. We want you to be sovereign, Lord, and that we would worship you in everything we do. We want you to be our salvation. A reminder that our grace, the grace that we've received, is because of your goodness. So God, our hearts long for it. Today, move by your Spirit. Move us into a response so we could shorten that gap. Help us to live out, with the help of other people, and with the help of your Spirit, help us to live out what we believe. We pray this for your glory and for the transformation of lives around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, I'm going to ask you to come as we sing.